seven strangers, does that not make you a serial killer?
So I didn't kill them every day, did I? Did I go out there every day and say, I'm gonna kill? If I did, there would be
hundreds. Well, no, it took you 12 months.
Then he brings up Rex again, and that's when I just looked at him and I started sobbing.
If I had shot my own children, would I not have done a good job of it?
Because, first of all, women generally don't commit crimes this heinous.
Right.
This is usually the domain of men.
That's unfortunate.
Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Danny.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's been a bit of a mixed weekend, but how are you?
What an odd answer. I'm good. I hear you're going rock climbing later and you didn't invite me.
Danny, you're always invited. It's your...
How am I supposed to know it exists, huh?
That's fair.
Yeah, there you go.
I assumed you would just know. I mean, he is your brother. He's the one who drives.
He is how I found out.
Are you going to come?
No.
Well, then, you never come anyway. That's why.
But I like to feel like I have the ability to say no. And by not inviting me, you don't give me that option.
Okay. Well, most Fridays since I've gotten back, we've been able to go.
Today's Sunday.
Yeah. It's a bit of an odd one.
Okay.
This one was more like impromptu. I think they went Friday. I didn't go, but they go twice a week when they can.
Jeez.
Yeah. They're getting good.
A lot of climbing.
Not enough climbing.
It's a lot of climbing. It's a lot of socializing.
Yeah. I think you should go. It would be fun, especially since going outside right now isn't really that appealing.
Yeah, I'm okay. I really need to clean.
Does anyone need to clean?
No, but I feel like, I don't know, my life is so busy right now and scattered that coming home and not having a clean house like just adds to that stress. And anyways,
do you get that paralysis where you show up ready to clean, you don't know where to start, so you don't start, and the problem compounds?
You know, oddly enough, that's one thing I don't have.
Hmm.
Like, but also, it's terrible because the one thing that really bothers me most of all is dirty floors. And it's hard with three dogs and that's a dirt fair. Backyard. But I hate like walking barefoot in your house and getting dirty feet.
Yeah.
It's the fucking worst.
I never walk barefoot.
Yeah.
I always have slippers for indoors. I don't understand people who walk even with socks because like water spills.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I know. But I like clean floors is like my thing. I'm obsessed with it. I have this vacuum that's also a mop. I use it like four times a week. And you need to with three dogs. Anyways. So I always, that's like the one thing that I'm always on top of. And it drives Kobe crazy because he's like, Danny, why are you washing the floors when we have a sink full of dishes or like, I don't know, whatever. Or like, why you haven't even done anything else. You haven't wiped down the counters. Like, why start with the floors? And I don't know. It's my thing.
Yeah. Do you have a dishwasher?
Yeah. We don't use it.
Why?
I never grew up with a dishwasher.
Same.
And so everything was always hand washed and I just like got in this weird, like I go through phases where I'll use it and then I forget it exists for years. So
I also didn't have one. It was a very stereotypical Mexican household where it's used as like additional storage.
I was like, white trash, grew up in a mobile home. Yeah.
You just like open it up and it was just like more things.
Uh-huh.
I got my first one when I moved out and I was in Orange County. And now I'm like, this is the best thing. Like,
you never revert back to hand washing.
No, I hate hand washing. And dishwashers are more water efficient.
I know they are. I know.
There's just all these pros.
I know. And we have a nice dishwasher too that we got from somebody getting rid of one. And well, I don't know. Yep. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't
you
know. Have the facts. We literally also, we did a herstory on the inventor of the dishwasher.
Yes.
I'm over here like, I don't know.
See, you are hating on her.
I know. It's just, ugh. What's weird is Kobe, who I live with.
He is weird, yes.
He is weird, yeah. But he grew up with a dishwasher. He's always had one. And he never uses it. He never uses our dishwasher.
Is that because he never did dishes when he was at home?
No, they like, if they use a dish, they like rinse it off and put it in the dishwasher. Like it's their thing. Like it's the household thing. There's not dishes in the sink. They just rinse it off and put it in the dishwasher.
I don't know then.
I don't either. I should ask him. I don't think I've ever asked him. If you listen, Kobe, if you listen to this, can you let me know? Thanks. He probably won't.
Yeah. I don't know. You listened to that one episode where you talked about how you would kill him, and then he sent you that funny text.
That's the only episode he's listened to this season.
Why that one?
Because I told him we talk about him. Oh. Yeah. Anyways, I have a shorter episode for us this week because last week was a doozy and it was like very long. And then next time it's going to be another long one. And also This week was just like super busy and stressful. So here we are.
Cool. Well, as a reminder to our fans and listeners, we're switching over to bi-weekly, as in every other week we'll release an episode.
No, we're doing it twice a week.
No, screw that. Could you imagine? If we had like a team of researchers and editors, maybe.
Right, even if this was our full-time job, it would be doable, but not working another 50 hours a week on top of this.
Hey guys, if you're out there and that idea, like two episodes a week of murder.
No.
If that's what you want.
As much as I love doing it.
No, because subscribe to our Patreon. We have a very low threshold, relatively speaking, of Patreons we'd need.
Oh.
Before we like quit our jobs, do this full time.
Oh yeah, sure. Speaking of Patreon, we actually have a follower who we never called out.
Who?
Kobe.
Oh.
Thank you, Kobe. Love it. So yeah. Anyways, bi-weekly, I think we've covered everything, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Here we are. Let's get started.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going back to the basics. Widow.
What does that
mean? What's it called? Black Widow?
Black Widow? When a woman kills
her husband.
Is the Black Widow always for her husband?
I don't know.
Okay, hold on. We should know this.
Yeah, it is. I'm like 80% sure.
You're right, of course, because the actual Black Widow spider kills its mate.
But so do grasshoppers, right? Or no, what are they called? The praying mantis.
Yeah.
Maybe Black Widow is just a better name. God, we are off to a start.
It's look at this. I blame the weather.
I blame my lack of sleep.
Sleep's overrated. I barely get it and I feel fine.
I'm exhausted. It's fine. Right. So we're doing a Black Widow episode. Does it count if she's only murdered one person, though?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Okay. Well, possibly. Possibly. So we're starting on, should I say her name? No, fuck it. We're starting on September 27th, 1991. This is pre-us existing.
What month was it?
September of 1991.
Oh, it was.
Yes. Yeah, because you're 92? 3? 1? Wait, what the fuck? What year are you?
I'm not telling that on the pod, but...
Just number it. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, shit. Okay. Gabe's old. So anyways...
You're like 3 years younger.
So Bobby Curley, that is his name. It's Bobby Curley. And on September 27, 1991, he was brought to a hospital in severe pain and having hallucinations. The hospital couldn't figure it out. He was only 32 years old. He was described as a happy guy, always smiling, down to earth. And he shows up at the hospital just freaking out with these hallucinations, and they have to like tie him down. It's a whole thing.
Bad trip. It's happened.
We'll see. So, by the way, his hair was straight.
His hair was straight, like standing on pins and needles?
No, it's just straight because his name's Bobby Curley.
Oh.
if you're wondering, like I was. So, let's start in 1990 now. So, we're flashing back to who is Bobby? Well, in August of 1990, he had married a woman named Joanne. August is a great year to get married. And she was a young widow with a 4-year-old daughter.
See, already by the nature of this show.
So here's the weird part, though.
Yeah.
Her first husband had died in a car accident.
Car accidents can be orchestrated. We just did the twin murders, right?
That's true. But he was like alone in the car on a foggy road.
Were his brakes cut?
No.
Then he just like, what, slid off the road and...
I'm not positive, but the first husband's sister, so it would be Joanne's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
She came out and she's like, I don't think Joanne orchestrated anything. Like, I think that first husband, I think he died, you know, because it was a foggy road and it was just a car accident. So I don't know, but she will come up later.
Okay.
I don't know. So Bobby worked for an electrical company. And in May of 1991, which is a couple months before he ends up in the hospital, his crew starts working to remodel. It's a remodel going on in a chemistry lab.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they would go in, and the lab was supposed to be cleared out before they started work, but it wasn't. And all of his coworkers were like, yeah, it was kind of sketchy. They'd just be like, what are chemicals in there? And they're like, we didn't know what it was. So we just, you know, did our work. It was fine. And 3 months into the project, Bobby starts to feel sick. His feet would burn, and sometimes he would just have a hard time walking, and his hands would go numb. So he goes to the hospital, which, by the way, I don't think I would. I think I'd be like, these symptoms will go away. It's fine. And then I would just die. So he goes to the hospital, and he's diagnosed with, oh gosh, I even put like how to say it next to it, and I don't know what I was thinking. Guillain-Barré syndrome.
I've never heard of this.
It's rare, and it causes numbness and weakness of the extremities. Usually, it'll go away on its own. Sometimes it just gets worse and worse.
What causes it?
I don't know. Google it.
Well, you mentioned he was in a chemical lab, so I assumed he must have accidentally inhaled, ingested, touched some chemical.
It's an autoimmune disorder that affects the nerves.
So is it just bad luck?
Oh, it can be triggered by an acute bacterial or viral infection. Ooh, it can cause paralysis.
Well, it's a chem lab, not a virus lab. What do they call those? You guys know what I mean.
Yeah, like the CDC.
Yeah, like this is just a standard chemical lab. It wouldn't have viruses hanging out. So I think it's unrelated.
Guillain-Barré. Anyways, it's fine. It's not that important, guys.
I like the name. If you saw that on a menu at like a French restaurant, you'd be like, oh, Guillain-Barré. It sounds so good.
Stupid way I spelled out how to say it is Guyan. I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. I'm like,
Guyan?
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Anyway, so he like gradually improves while he's in the hospital. So they let him leave because some people just, you know, they get better.
Yeah.
And after he leaves, though, it just soon gets worse. And on top of those symptoms, he also starts throwing up. So he's like, I have to go back to the hospital, and an ambulance comes and it takes him to a different kind of hospital. It's like 100 miles from the one he originally went to. And this is when he got there and was hallucinating and had to be restrained, how we started the episode. So all of his blood tests were normal. And the doctor noticed that Bobby's straight hair was falling off of his head. Like it was just falling off in clumps.
Radiation poisoning?
Well, the doctor like specializes in, what's the word? Like poison, I guess.
Okay.
Like there's a kind of word for whatever he does. Yeah. But he knows all about this kind of thing. And he's like, that's the hair falling off along with the tingling of the extremities. It is a clear sign of a poisoning like arsenic or thallium. And so he did a special urine test, and it comes back positive with thallium.
So heavy metal toxicity. Oh, so he's called a toxicologist.
There you go. So thallium is super rare and highly toxic, and it is not picked up in routine lab tests. And it was banned in the U.S. in the 70s, but before that, it was very commonly used in rat poison.
It always comes back to rat poison.
Yeah, but how do you get 30-year-old rat poison?
That is a good question. So it can be found in old electronics that, oh man, should we tell people this?
Wait, yeah, that's super interesting. What do you mean?
So you can go out and find infrared detectors, which will have two versions of thallium in it. low temperature thermometers may still have thallium-based salts in them. Optical lenses.
Optical lens, like glasses?
Not glasses, like cameras, microscopes, oh. And other like, you know, like those sorts of things.
So if you break those open, you can find some thallium?
Potentially. I'm not a chemist. I would imagine you have to like probably distill it in some way to get the raw thallium. But maybe even it in like a compound form could hurt someone. I wouldn't know that much.
Is that it? Is that the only way you can get it really nowadays?
Yeah.
That you know of?
Yeah, that's the only way I know of is going out and finding these older electronics. And even then, the amount you need,
You need a decent amount, like not a ton, but a decent amount.
Yeah. So symptoms can appear with as little as 1 milligram per kilogram of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a lot. Like really?
Yeah.
But going out and getting electronics and like trying to cobble together
enough.
It's
like how much could you really get from that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, anyways, there's no cure for thallium poisoning. And by the time it was actually diagnosed for him, there isn't a way to save him, unfortunately. He stayed in the hospital and on September 26th, he lapsed into a coma and was taken off life support. And all of this was Joanne's choice. It was not his family's because she's the wife.
But the doctor knows it was poisoning.
Right. They'll get more into it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. The family like wrote this whole post about how Joanne got to make all those choices and
yeah,
it was rough for them to like see that happen afterwards, you know, with like, I guess
with hindsight.
You guys don't know what happened yet. So let me tell you.
Yeah.
So police first go and examine the lab that Bobby had been working in because that's, you know, the most obvious choice is there's this sketchy ass lab with a bunch of chemicals laying around. So they go and they take air samples, dirt samples, swabs of like shelves, everything. And they were all taken to the lab. Joanne mentioned that Bobby had taken some cabinets home from the job site to get rid of them. So those were also tested. And the result of all of those tests were negative. And no other coworkers had any symptoms.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag there. Because as you were describing the environment, I was like, man, it is possible that something breaks like 30 years ago, is under layers of dirt, you're digging it up, you're breathing it in.
Yeah, for sure. So Joanne actually requested that her and her daughter be tested, and they're both positive for thallium in their body.
Okay, if she did it, if she killed her husband but made it a point to give her and her daughter a little bit of it, that's actually smart.
You think it's smart? I was like, why wouldn't you just put thallium on the cabinets that he took from the lab and was touching, and then like those test positive and you're like, oh, these came from the lab, it must have been these.
I think that would be harder to explain why no one else had it.
Oh, that's a good point.
But this way she could argue, because it's like we were talking about with the how the best way to get away with it is to not try to get so cleanly away with it that you're going to mess up.
She should have snuck into the lab and just put thallium everywhere and got a bunch of people sick.
Yeah, and kill a bunch of people and maybe not even kill her husband. And
yeah.
No, that would make it so much worse.
Oh, goodness. So, you know, I think this show has really shown that I should be a murderer. I'm so good at it. Like, just hide a skunk in a rug. And
yeah. No. You would do something like put it on the cabinet and they'd be like, well, why is it only on this cabinet?
Why is nobody else sick who moved these cabinets?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thallium that was found in the daughter and Joanne's, what's it called? In
system?
Their system, not symptom, system. It was not enough to even cause any symptoms or need treatment, but.
See what I mean?
It indicated they had some kind of exposure. So they found traces in two thermoses that Bobby always filled with iced tea and took with him to work. And there is also traces. There was also traces of thallium in a third thermos that Bobby never took to work. So Joanne's like, oh, well, this would make sense because once I took one of the thermoses that he had taken to work and he had extra iced tea in there, so I dumped it in this smaller one and put it in the fridge so it wouldn't be wasted. And my daughter and I drank that iced tea.
So she did it by accident. Or was this orchestrated? But either way, that's a very flimsy excuse because it doesn't explain why it would be in the thermos.
Right. So police, for some reason, turned their attention to Bobby's coworkers at this point. So Bobby had been promoted to foreman at a young age, 32, and he bypassed some older, more experienced coworkers. So police were like, maybe it was jealousy or anger that could be a motive, which, you know, fair. And also, it was like a thing with this crew to prank each other.
And that's not a prank.
Well, wait, they would regularly lace each other's food with like hot pepper or chewing tobacco as a joke. And I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. But it was hypothesized somebody laced his food with thallium on accident because I don't know. This was just a theory, which, I mean, you're a policeman. You gotta look into everything.
I agree. I like the thoroughness of considering jealous coworkers because that happens.
Yeah.
But as you, our listeners, and I know, who is always suspect number one?
Spouse.
Yes.
It's like, why didn't they immediately turn to her? And yes, it's because I think this chem lab was like, it just made the most sense of where do you even get thallium? So that's just like what they focused on at first.
It does. And I don't blame them at all for thinking of coworkers, the environment, the lab. Like, that all makes a lot of sense. But they seem to have not even considered the wife.
Yeah. So at this point, years go by.
Damn.
Yeah, because there's not really any more evidence that's found. Like,
yeah, fair.
And so police, Bobby's family, I guess, they really start to look at Joanne. They're like, I don't really trust her. They're suspicious of her. And they work really hard. And police actually agree to exhume Bobby's body for a second autopsy.
Interesting. Why would a second
one? Because new forensic technology has come out where they can test hair and fingernails for thallium poisoning. And they can get a timeline
of when it happened?
Yeah. And how long he had been poisoned.
Would that really change?
Yes.
So I guess that'll tell them if it was or was not in the lab or if it was before he became a foreman. But either way, I would think if it's his coworkers, they knew he was going to be picked as a foreman, so they started before then. And the lab can be, they already tested the environment, the lab, so it's already a no-go, mm-hmm, non-issue. So,
but it's still something that, you know, you should test because maybe something big will come out of it, which maybe it does. I don't know. We'll find out.
All right, let's see what comes out.
Okay. So, also, a weird little fact. It was like rainy season and his coffin was filled with water.
Oh.
And it had been sitting in water, which is something you never really think about.
No, I assume those were pretty sealed.
Well, not this one.
Was that on purpose? Did she get like a cheapo coffin?
I don't know. It was just weird and it was a big thing. The prosecution was worried about it being like the defense trying to use it and say the evidence was like marred somehow because it had been sitting in water. And
I don't know if that would necessarily affect like what's in what remains of his tissue.
Same, but it was a worry just because, I don't know, it was interesting.
I guess it's fair. As we learned with Casey Anthony's episode, the defense can say whatever
literally
they want.
Anything,
like,
yeah.
They can say, oh, lightning came down and struck him and that kicked up thallium and that's what did it.
Mm-hmm. So they exhume him and they look at his hair and I guess there's this test that can be done where thallium can be found in hair and a strand of hair can show 6 months of medical history.
That sounds really cool.
It sounds wild.
But I'm skeptical.
Yeah. So they found that Bobby was exposed to thallium long before he started working at the chemistry lab. In fact, he was first exposed 2 months after getting married and a year before he died.
Wait, so he was only married for like less than 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. They were newlyweds.
That's...
They got married in August of, what was it? I'm about to lose my spot. Hold on, let me mark where I am. How do you highlight? There you go.
I can drag.
They got married in August of 1991, right?
Yeah, you said September?
No, that's when he died. Yeah, okay. They got married in August of 1990. Okay. He died in September of 91.
Wow, usually newlyweds have a good couple of years.
Yes, they do, usually. So, he also had an extremely large dose of thallium given to him or ingested while he was at the hospital right before he died.
Wait, so for our listeners, thallium can be in... You can absorb thallium through your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be fed thallium.
Yes.
Even just touching it, yes, enough of it can hurt you.
Which is scary because it used to be in rat poison and people just like fucking like put that stuff everywhere.
Yeah. It was outlawed for a reason, right?
Yes. It's crazy. And also it makes sense now. In California, I don't know other places, you can't use rat poison that can then kill something that eats the rat. But I can see how if you had something that ingested thallium and then you ate that, it would kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a heavy metal. So I doubt it passes through the system very easily, even from animal to animal.
Mm-hmm.
Danny's over here like freaking out about the rain.
It is raining so hard. It's like raining harder than my shower. Crazy.
You need a better shower head then.
Oh, dude, our shower head sucks. Anyways. So the fact that he was given a very large dose while at the hospital.
Yeah.
Is very telling, and using the rain.
Danny cannot
focus.
I'm
so sorry. This is what it's like to just like, I don't know, I just keep losing my attention. It's very interesting what happens. Okay.
Do you know what turkeys do in the rain?
No.
They stare up with their mouths open.
Walter does that. So they're able to create this timeline through his hair of when he was exposed to the thallium, and then that large final dose is actually found in his large intestine. So
Danny cannot focus. She keeps looking out the window.
It's hurting so hard.
Should I close the window?
No, it's fine, it's fine. Okay, so they use this like last final large dose to look at who was in the hospital with him.
Yeah.
And eliminate anybody who wasn't. And the only people in the hospital with him was his family and Joanne.
Of course.
Yeah, I know. And it turns out that a few months into the marriage, they had started to have problems. And shortly after the wedding, Bobby made Joanne his sole beneficiary of his life insurance policy.
Nah.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, right? Yeah. So... the timeline makes sense because if she had gotten him to sign the life insurance policy about 2 months after they got married, then soon after she started to poison him.
Yeah.
And on December 12th, 1996, Joanne Curley was arrested and charged with first degree murder. She ends up pleading guilty to third degree murder. And this is interesting. The plea deal... it was because the kind of forensics used in the hair was very, very new and groundbreaking, and the prosecution was worried about it being ruled not admissible by the judge.
Yeah, like she could appeal it, right?
Yeah.
And then she might win that appeal.
During those few years where she was free after he was murdered, because they were like stuck, you know, cold case, she took lie detector tests and passed them.
Well, it's punk science, so who cares?
It's just remind me of the whole admissible thing. They're not admissible, but it's very interesting that she passed them. And so the prosecution was worried, and then the defense was worried that Joanne would get the death penalty if it was admissible. So both sides were worried, and so that's where this plea deal came from.
Damn. I guess it makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. What would you have done if you were the prosecutor?
I don't know. I'm so bad. Because, like, it is really new, and it would suck really bad if it's not admissible, because then they don't really have anything. Like, they do, but it's all circumstantial, like Casey Anthony, yeah. And maybe then she would have just walked.
Yeah, it sucks knowing that you'd be one judge, like, all it would take is a judge who doesn't get it to let her walk.
But I think I would have not offered the plea deal if I was the prosecution. And just YOLO'd it, because she's only sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison anyways, so.
I guess that's better than nothing. Better than like 5 years. I thought it was going to be shorter than that.
Yeah, I guess. So part of the plea deal is she admits to using the rat poison and poisoning him. So she used rat poison, and she found the rat poison in her grandma's basement.
Oh,
so that's
there you
another
go.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my grandparents have lived in their house for at least since the 70s, and yeah. They don't throw anything away. I bet I could find some rat poison in their garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. And she started by using very, very little, but began increasing the amount because she was worried it wasn't working. And in the hospital, she had brought him a soda, and she put a massive amount of thallium in it, and like got a straw and like kind of just, he wasn't doing well. He was restrained, and she just like kind of put it in his mouth and like made him drink it. And when asked about motive, she said it was for the money.
Not terribly shocking.
Yeah. Because like, even if they were unhappy, it's like, why not get a divorce? So
she really could have gone away with it if it wasn't for that initial toxicologist who recognized it as poisoning.
If he had gone to that first hospital where they thought it was the Barr syndrome.
Yeah.
Or Barré. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Joanna and her daughter had ingested the thallium after Bobby's death, according to Tess. It's possible she ingested it and had her daughter also to look innocent, but she denies this and says she doesn't know how they had it in their system.
If she did it that way, the way she suspected of doing it, like I called out earlier, I think it is decently smart, because she could have played that as, actually, why did she even, she screwed up with the soda. She could have had the rat poison in their house somewhere safe and been like, oh, we had a rat problem and he was trying to get rid of them. We found this rat poison. That's how he got it in his system.
How?
He's dead. She could just say he like spilled it on himself on accident, or.
I wonder if they're able to tell if you ingest it or touch it. I don't think so, because you can only tell when it's been in the system.
Yeah, and especially like having needing to exhume his body so long after he died, I bet it's even harder.
Okay, well, she's sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison, and she served the entire 20-year sentence because of a lack of remorse.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, not a single time did she show any remorse or, like, apologize to the family or anything.
I'm a little bit conflicted on that. I don't know if... Because what if she was someone who was incapable of showing remorse? And I guess it's best to keep her in as long as possible.
And
but it just feels weird that you can be held longer because you don't feel bad about it.
I'm for that.
I'm like, you should just punish someone because they did it. And like,
and not how they feel about it. What if they're proud of it? It's gross.
Well, is she proud or is she just indifferent?
Indifferent.
Because
I don't think she was proud.
People can fake caring. Like, I feel so bad I did.
Like, yeah, that's true.
You shouldn't. Like, I guess that's what I should say. I don't want someone's sentence to be reduced just because they feel really bad that they got caught, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, so she was released in 2016 and she's now out and free. And her sister-in-law from her first marriage, we talked about her briefly.
Yeah.
Is the one who picked her up from prison.
Why?
I don't know. It's like her sister-in-law, like, the only thing she really came out and said was that she didn't believe that Joanne had anything to do with the death of her first husband. And she'll believe that unless Joanne ever tells her like otherwise, which she doesn't think will ever happen because the brother had died in a car accident and it was an accident. So it's so weird. But like she still murdered somebody. Yeah. And she murdered, like, yeah, maybe she didn't murder your brother, but she murdered somebody else's brother. He had a sister and he had a brother. And like, how could you possibly still be on Joanne's side after this? Anyways, the only thing that I could find as far as where she is now is a 2-year-old Reddit post. And apparently it was a landscaper who was like, one time I landscaped somebody's yard and she gave me water and I drank it and she was very nice. And he later Googled her and realized who she was.
I would not have drank that water.
Well, he didn't know who she was at the time.
Fair.
And he's fine. And anyways, so that was the only thing that I could really, and it's like speculative, like it's a 2-year-old Reddit post from somebody saying something. So who knows if it's true. Most people seem to think that she returned to Pennsylvania where her family is, but there's just, she's staying on the DL and that's it.
Okay.
So that's the disappointing story of Joanne Curley.
Well, it's a little, yeah, it is disappointing,
mm-hmm.
but it was an interesting story nonetheless. Thallium poisoning. Was that the first case of thallium poisoning we've seen?
We've done rat poisoning before.
Yeah.
So a second.
It must have come up before.
Mm-hmm. It's the second one.
Cool.
Cool,
short
cool.
and sweet.
Yeah, that was it. Have a great week, everybody.
Subscribe to our Patreon. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
If you want more murder content on a regular basis. Because the dream would be we can quit our jobs and just do this.
And also get mentally prepared for a very long episode next time that goes very in depth into a pretty, not current case, but one that is being current, unfortunately. So there we are.
Hillary Clinton?
No. What did she do? Why?
Just Google Hillary Clinton murders and you'll see.
Okay. I mean, I should do Martha Stewart before I do her.
Oh, that'd be a good one too.
Oh my gosh.
She's a convicted felon.
I know.
She applies.
Anyways. All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye for now.